Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and it's my favorite time of the week. It's an opportunity for me to interact with you, our listening audience, and answer your questions. 888-302-3684. Plus, we got a lot to talk about. Yes, indeed, we've got many health stories to share with you, among which we're going to talk about a new remarkable breakthrough technique for dealing with problem constipation. You won't believe this story. Also, arguing can hasten your risk of death. So take a chill pill instead of arguing. 888-302-3684. I meant figuratively take a chill pill. I don't mean take Xanax or any of the available drugs, because they also increase your risk of dying by about twofold. 888-302-3684. Before we get your phone calls, a big story on exercise this week. Two studies in the British journal Heart add new evidence to the case that extreme amounts of exercise may be detrimental to your health. And, you know, I really got some dogs in the fight on this one, because I am an inveterate exerciser. I do triathlons. I've run the marathon in the past, although I thought that was a little overly heroic. But triathlons offer balanced training between swimming, biking, and running. And the distances that I go, well, I go for a triathlon that's a one-mile swim, followed by a 26-mile bike ride, followed by a 10-kilometer or 6-mile run, which is a lot of exercise. It takes about 3-plus hours to complete, but at least it affords an opportunity for cross-training, not the relentless running that people training for a marathon have to undergo. But it's a lot of exercise. It involves a big commitment, a lot of time. And I am reaching a certain age. I am 61 years old, and doing it year in and year out, it can be challenging, you know, to get out there and do it and overcome strains and sprains and little injuries, and, you know, to maintain the determination to be out there for hour upon hour, sometimes weekdays, and of course, a lot of hours on weekends devoted to exercise. So the question is all that exercise good for you? And in particular, is it okay for you past a certain age? Now, we tend to think of exercise in medicine as one of those verities. You know, exercise is just, it's great. There's nothing like exercise when it comes to reducing the risk of many diseases. It even slows the risk of cognitive decline. It seems to be one of the best ways to prevent mental decline as you age. But also, it clearly lowers the risk of cancer, certainly lowers the risk of diabetes, and it can lower the risk of cardiovascular disease. But at what point does, you know, if a little is good, a lot is better? Well, not necessarily, according to these studies. You know, they used to think that marathoners were virtually free of the risk of atherosclerosis because they're exercising so continually that was going to be good for their heart. But some new think has been introduced into this. Certainly that was dispelled many, many years ago when Jim Fix, who was America's leading advocate for aerobic exercise when the aerobic exercise craze began in the 60s and 70s, he dropped dead while running. And it turned out that upon autopsy, he had a lot of plaque in his arteries. And I thought, well, okay, maybe the exercise wasn't helping him because he was on a crappy diet. But then we have new evidence that suggests that people who exercise at very high levels, they may have coronary calcification. They may have deposits of calcium in their arteries. And that exercise is not 100% bulwark against all cardiac misfortune. And that's kind of a scary thought because, you know, what's it all about? I mean, yeah, it's, you know, people love the exercise. They like to feel awesome. They like to achieve. But type A personalities sometimes push themselves to do things that are not in their interest. And let me tell you that among people who do triathlons, there are a lot of people who are ego tripping. There are a lot of people who are, you know, pushing themselves beyond reasonable bounds, mind over matter, where there's a will, there's a way. But sometimes it's deleterious to their bodies. That's why Manhattan is full in many urban areas where there are a lot of upscale type A professionals. Is full of sports medicine practices where they deal with battered feet and messed up knees and mangled backs because people overdo it. And, you know, I saw this in Boston recently. Everybody is out there running long distance, and it's great for some people who are built well for it, who have the right type of physique, who don't have musculoskeletal imbalances or risk factors for injury, but sometimes people are pushing the envelope. All right, the two studies. One study that came out this week in the British Journal Heart, and by the way, this is in a kind of in a theme of articles that suggests that too much exercise may be harmful. The first study looks at people who already have cardiovascular disease, and so the normal advice is, if you've got cardiovascular disease, it's a pretty good idea to exercise, right? Because you strengthen your heart, you improve your circulation. But these were people who took that advice to somewhat of an extreme. They followed over 1,000 patients with heart disease for 10 years. They found that those who vigorously exercised daily, every single day, vigorous exercise. Remember, they already had a diagnosis of heart disease. They were more than twice as likely to die of a heart attack or stroke than those who exercised more moderately, only 2 to 4 days a week. Now, here's the catch. You might say, well, forget exercise. You got heart disease. And if too much exercise makes things worse, I'm just going to lay on the couch. I'm going to read about those people doing triathlons. Well, it turns out that those who exercised rarely or never had the worst outcomes. All right. So now let's look at some just healthy folks. What they found is that ultra-endurance athletes, individuals who routinely did marathons, they had also a higher risk of cardiac arrhythmias. In this study, they found a higher risk of irregularities in heart rhythm. And that is a concern. That is a concern. These results parallel the results of a recent study that shows there's a 74% risk in the chance of atrial fibrillation in men younger than 50 who exercised vigorously 5 to 7 days a week. So how likely is this to affect you? Well, probably not likely, because the vast majority of you out there, you're not super high-level exercisers. So we don't want people to get the wrong message that exercise is bad for you, or that exercise is something to avoid. So I want to put out a little something to you, which is a quote from F. Scott Fitzgerald. It's a very good quote. The test of a first-rate intelligence is the ability to hold two opposing ideas in mind at the same time and still retain the ability to function. Famous quote from F. Scott Fitzgerald. What I'm saying here is that you should exercise, but you should think about the potential consequences of overexertion, particularly past a certain age. Here's a story from 30 onwards. Inactivity has the greatest impact on women's lifetime heart disease risk, an impact even greater than smoking. That's pretty incredible. And here's another one. While you're holding two ideas simultaneously in mind at the same time, here's another one to put into your bonnet. Fitness linked to lower death risk in older men. According to a recent study, no matter what age a man is, cardiovascular fitness may buy him more years of life. And those who were able to push themselves the hardest during exercise had half the risk of dying of study participants who were the least fit. Well, okay, that makes sense, because if you're sick, you're already ready to check out. You won't be able to exercise, and it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. I'm not sure the study suggests that the high levels of exercise that these men were able to achieve were precisely the cause of their longevity, but they were a marker of longevity. Individuals who are fit, who are able to play tennis, engage in vigorous activities, running, biking, swimming, you know, vigorous golf, and you name it. These are individuals who are, you know, make sense, more likely to live longer. As we go higher in fitness, we go lower in mortality risk and death rates. So people think, hey, you know, I'm whatever, I'm 48 or I'm 52 or I'm 61 or I'm 70 and I'm over the hill and I can't do this anymore. And the answer is do it, but do it with a sense of reasonableness and moderation, because if you push yourself beyond your capacity, you can create problems, both musculoskeletally, but even with greater consequences to your heart, slowing your heart to the point where you develop a heart rate of 28 or 30, like many endurance athletes, and that can put you at a higher risk for cardiac arrhythmias. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We'll take your phone calls momentarily. Our number, 888-302-3684.
Heart disease is the number one killer in America, but you don't need to become a statistic. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we'd like to share with you that one of the best ways that I found to support heart health is by taking Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Backed by more than 700 peer-reviewed studies, Kyolic provides powerful antioxidants that help keep your arteries healthy. It reduces homocysteine, a risk factor for heart disease. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract has also been shown to support healthy cholesterol levels and proper circulation. With all of these heart-healthy benefits, it's no surprise that Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is the best-selling garlic supplement in the world. Unlike other garlic products, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is completely odorless and won't upset your stomach. Made from 100% organically grown garlic, I recommend taking Kyolic daily as part of a heart-healthy lifestyle. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores nationwide.
At Nordic Naturals, we pioneer new ways to help people get premium omega-3 nutrition while maintaining the highest standards of safety, quality, and sustainability. Nordic Naturals sources its fish from some of the cleanest waters on Earth and selects only flourishing species that are naturally low in toxins and high in omega-3s. During production, every batch of fish oil used in our products is third-party tested to ensure that they meet international omega-3 industry standards for purity, using methods established by the World Health Organization. At Nordic Naturals, what's essential to us is simple. It's what's essential to you. Like us on Facebook and share your What's Essential story, or simply visit NordicNaturals.com for free samples. Nordic Naturals is available at finer health stores nationwide. Nordic Naturals. Committed to delivering the world's safest, most effective omega oils.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, answering your questions. 888-302-3684. And we got a call from Linda, who is in Vernon, Connecticut. Welcome.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman.
Hi.
I've heard you talk in the past about a heart scan. I think it was called to detect calcium.
Yes.
And I think it was called, was it called EBT?
You got it.
EBT.
Electron beam tomography, or EBT heart scan. Now, let me differentiate. There are actually several different types of these to detect calcium near coronary arteries. One is called an ultrafast CAT scan. That's a test that gives you the same results, but it actually involves more radiation than the EBT heart scan. So we actually recommend that people get the EBT heart scan. Sometimes you go for an EBT heart scan, and they say, well, we'll give you an ultra-fast CAT scan, which is something that may be more easily reimbursed, or for some reason that's the equipment they have, but then they deliver more radiation than you need to get, so we'd prefer the EBT scan.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Sure.
A friend of mine just had an episode recently, just walking very, you know, slowly, I mean, not fast, and all of a sudden felt tremendous pressure in his chest, sweating, had to sit down, called the doctor, saw a cardiologist, and they're going to schedule him for, I believe, a stress test next week.
Well, that's the right step to take. You know, let me tell you that actually a stress test in this case would be a better test than the EBT heart scan, because the EBT heart scan is a test that, you know, sometimes you'll do a stress test. Actually, one of my patients remarked to me, he just completed a stress test, and then rather discouragingly, the technician said, well, you know, it looks like you did fine. The doctor will analyze the test. But remember, you could still have cardiovascular risk. Even if you pass the stress test, you could have up to 70% blockage or calcium accumulation, but the stress test may register normal. So what you do after, say you're concerned about whether you should take a statin, you know, your doctor's pushing you to take a statin, take a statin, take a statin. This happens constantly in my practice. We see people with relatively high cholesterol and they're told take a statin. And then we do an EBT heart scan and they have a score of zero, which means they have very, very low risk of cardiovascular disease. So the EBT heart scan is a good way to determine if you got to go full court press on cardiovascular prevention with a statin drug. Yeah, so, but it, you know, this individual you're describing, I mean, it's perfectly appropriate for him to have a stress test.
Right.
And possibly, and then if the stress test is abnormal, maybe get an angiogram, because, I mean, that's pretty heavy duty symptom there you're describing.
Yeah, first time it happened, his cholesterol is 230. He'd been taking one of the statin drugs every other day, and the cardiologist increased that.
Well, I wish I had a buck for everybody in this country who ends up getting a heart attack or stroke while on a statin. They are imperfect preventers, and some people need them, and some people are placed on them unnecessarily. So, you know, the question is, let's find out what's going on with this individual, and then we can undertake a program of treatment or prevention. You know, maybe that there's no immediate need to do anything, and you can undertake a preventive approach. Or maybe the symptoms are attributable to something completely different. You know, it's not a heart problem, but we'd have to see.
Dr. Hoffman, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you for calling Intelligent Medicine. Let's talk to John, who's in Fairhaven, Mass. How you doing?
Mr. Hoffman.
Hey, how you doing?
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I can attest, listening to your opening statement, I can attest to overexertion. I used to run. I was 34 years old. I'm 54 now.
Right.
I was 34 years old. I used to run 6 to 14 miles, probably 3 to 5 times a week. I would sprint from telephone pole to telephone pole.
You were doing interval training. That's amazing.
Excuse me. I would drop down and pump out 25 to 50 push-ups and get up and keep running.
There you go.
And I experienced a spontaneous pneumothorax.
Ooh, that's nasty. For a listening audience, what that is, that the lung collapsed, you know,
yes,
which is unusual.
I thought I was having a heart attack.
Yeah.
And I went to the emergency room, and they diagnosed me. They said, John, you're not having a heart attack.
Thank God.
They said, set him up for a collapsed lung.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm okay. And I asked the doctor what causes it, and they said it's predominantly in healthy young men, athletes.
Right, who may overinflate their lungs, and it predominantly occurs also if you've got a narrow thorax. So, in fact, what you may be doing, this is a structural problem, is that you're overinflating the lungs, and literally the exterior part of the lung gets torn against the outside against the bony structure that encases the lung, and then you get a collapsed lung, and that is exquisitely painful, but also will immediately cause tremendous shortness of breath, and kind of a cool treatment, because you can put actually a little hole in there and it will reinflate the lung. That's the way you treat it. All right, so thanks for sharing. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. When we return, more of your questions. We'll also talk about the pulsating pill that promotes peristalsis.
For more Intelligent Medicine, download our free podcast at drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Let me just say that we've got some great podcasts this week. We talked to an expert on natural cosmetics and natural skincare in treating acne and problem skin conditions. And that's one of our podcasts with Karen Sinclair Drake this week. Also, we talked about environmental toxicity, reviewed a book called Toxin, Tox Out with Rick Smith, a prominent Canadian environmentalist. and lots of insights about where you can find toxins in the environment, how to avoid them, and how to detoxify your body. Those are podcasts available at drhoffman.com. We encourage you to download them. Hey, we got a follow-up question from John, who is our inveterate warrior and athlete from Fairhaven, Mass. How you doing, John?
Hi, Dr. Hoffman.
Yeah.
Thank you. Can you explain? I've been experiencing some Charlie horses.
Yeah.
When I'm sleeping, I do roofing.
Or as we refer to them, south of Boston, Charlie horses. You say Charlie horses.
Okay, Charlie.
Right? I mean, I was just up in Fenway Park, and you know, I didn't take the car. I took the T.
Is my dialect is it discernible?
No, not at all. Not at all. Nobody could tell. You're perfectly camouflaging it. No problem.
It's a Charlie horse.
Charlie horse. Yeah. Okay.
Charlie horse.
So you get like cramps in your calves.
Calf, legs, foot.
Right.
And it's very debilitating.
Right. And this occurs when you run, or it's sometimes at night in bed, or what?
Yes. When I'm sleeping, they will wake me up, and and people have told me, get up and stand on a cold floor. But when you've got this going on,
right, it's hard.
You can't even move.
Right. Okay. So a couple of things are going on here. You know, they actually do not know the precise cause of those Charlie horses that you get sometimes when you exercise. And I've had this happen to me a couple of times during races. It's pretty uncomfortable. You know, I've like stood up on my bike pedals and pounded down, and like wham, my calf goes into horrible spasm, and it's pretty uncomfortable.
Yes.
It's also happened to me one time. I think it was a race last year where I was at the end of my swim, and it was, you swam to a dock, and the idea was you had to pull yourself out of the dock instead of the usual where you run up a beach. So I pulled myself up, and like, wham, I got a cramp, in my arm.
I can relate to that because yeah. I've been swimming too, and that's the worst time to get it.
Yeah. So what's going on is, first of all, check your magnesium levels. And actually, it's sometimes hard to get your magnesium levels up with oral magnesium. So sometimes when I get into a whole kind of a crampy state, there's sometimes a point where if I exercise too much, I get into sort of a meltdown thing where my body cramps all up. And I then get intravenous magnesium. I get a magnesium cocktail called a Myers cocktail with magnesium, B vitamins, some vitamin C, and that actually helps to relax muscles. That's for many of our athletes. That's a good thing to do. But you know, if you can't get IV, just take oral magnesium. My favorite form of oral magnesium is these days Jigsaw Magnesium. It's a product we have at drhoffman.com, and it's well absorbed. It doesn't cause diarrhea. Now the other thing that's going on is there's a hydration factor, and so in athletic events, you often get a little dehydrated. You know, sometimes it's deliberate because you don't want to have to keep running to the outhouse every time.
Yes.
You get to a certain point in the race, so you may underhydrate. Dehydration can actually create a propensity to cramps, but it's also an electrolyte thing. So what has been described recently as a remedy for cramping is, get this, pickle juice. And I like pickles. So pickle juice, rich in sodium, rich in fluid. It's a great way to rehydrate, plus get a little garlicky flavor. That may be good too. But pickle juice seems to, you know, there's always a little pickle juice left in the pickle, container, and you can just drink that down.
It is very interesting that you mention that, because I save my pickle juice and I drink it because it's got vinegar and...
Yeah. And sauerkraut juice will do the same. And the other thing is, for some people, cramps occur when they sleep because it's positional. They get into some kind of funny position, and especially as you get older, there's a tendency for the discs in the spine to get a little thinner, and there's more likelihood of compression of the nerves. So as you twist in a funny position, you may get a cramp in your legs. Older individuals often have this as a result of spinal stenosis. It can cause really painful cramps at night, and it's actually a nerve or a circulation problem that's caused by compression. If it occurs always at night, think compression and think of altering your sleeping position, because that may be part of the cause. So happy trails, and take it easy. I mean, do it. You're a 50-something-year-old guy, and just, you know, modify your activities so that it feels good, and you're not doing things that overly heroic that can damage your heart. You know, the concern is, here's another example of a guy who literally ran into trouble. There was a book called Born to Run, and it was the story of a guy who was dubbed El Caballo Blanco, the White Horse. And he was this guy who went to live with the, let me see if I pronounce this right, the Tuamajaro Indians of the Mexican highlands, who delight in running. And they run barefoot, or they run in just these little thin sandals, huaraches, which are just designed to protect their feet from the sharp rocks and outcroppings and cactus. But basically, you know, they're barefoot runners. And they delight in running. They don't make it like a, you know, grit your teeth kind of thing. They just, you know, run, you know, up and down the hillsides, and they exult in it. And they can go enormous distances. So this guy mimicked the running style of these Highland Indians, who run at altitude, by the way, so it improves their conditioning. And he was an inveterate runner. He ran, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of miles, you know, a week, not uncommonly 30-mile runs. And he exulted in the lifestyle of running. And then one day he took a run out in the desert and he disappeared. Didn't show up, didn't come back. People said, what the heck, let's send out a search party. 3 days later, they found his body in a ravine, face down. He had fallen down and died. And when they did an autopsy, what they found is his heart was dangerously enlarged, probably due to the high exertion. Maybe there was some genetic factor that his heart caused his heart to be enlarged. But the guy was dead at 58, a guy who was exalted as one of the most fit individuals on the planet. In fact, the subject of a book about the glories of long-distance running met his demise at 58, doing what he loved to do, but nonetheless, one wonders, did he put undue stress on his heart and create a condition of cardiomyopathy, causing a cardiac arrhythmia, and ultimately resulting in his death? I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. This is Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System. A complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh. Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers. The beach, outdoors, and vacations are all benefits of summer, but the worst possible time to experience painful and embarrassing bloating and gas. Bloating often isn't triggered by how much you eat, but rather eating certain foods that are difficult to digest. These undigested substances then pass into your colon, producing the gas bubbles that make your stomach swell up and produce uncomfortable and unattractive belly bloat. However, with the proper amounts of beneficial probiotics in your GI tract, food that is challenging to digest is rapidly broken down. As a result, the space that the food occupies is decreased, and there is less gas and bloating. Dr. O'Hara's award-winning probiotics delivers a live, viable blend of beneficial bacteria directly to the source of discomfort. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics improves your colonic pH, regaining bacterial balance, and correcting the root cause of bloat and discomfort. This summer, discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast, updated several times weekly. Go to drhoffman.com.
Back to Intelligent Medicine. Are you suffering from severe constipation? Well, the Israelis have come up with an answer for you. These are the self-same Israelis who came up with the miniature camera that you can swallow. It's a camera in a pill that actually will tell you where you have a problem in your intestine. If you have bleeding, for example, and you go from above and you can't find the bleeding site, and you go from below and you can't find the bleeding site, they'll give you this little camera pill to swallow, and maybe it'll spot the site of bleeding. Well, now they've come up with a pulsating pill that promotes peristalsis for problematic pooping. How's that for alliteration? I made that up myself. It's a pill that you swallow that vibrates at the proper frequency to stimulate the urge to have a bowel movement. And I'm not how sure that how that's going to work or how much that's going to cost, but it seems like there's simpler, lower-tech ways to promote that natural process. All right, let's talk now to Larry. Welcome.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman.
Hi.
I'm in New Hampshire. My wife is 67.
Yep.
And he's recently had a lot of hives.
Mm-hmm.
Seem to be involved with stress and stuff like that.
Yeah, stress can make it worse, no question.
I don't know. She's taking antihistamines from my local doctor, and they don't seem to help any either.
Do you have a flock of geese behind you? Because that's what it sounds like.
No, I had a walkie-talkie on that I bumped with my knee on my chair.
I'm
talking to you. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, great. No, it actually sounds like you're calling directly from the barnyard with the geese in the background.
Well, anyway. I built the barn, but no, that's not a walkie-talkie I use from the barn to the house.
Oh, seriously? So you are there actually are barnyard animals that around you, surrounding you?
Yes, yeah, somewhat. Yeah, we have chickens and there's cattle.
That's pretty cool. Okay, so here's what I would say on we see a lot of patients who have hives. And yeah, I actually personally suffered from hives, which is very disconcerting. I had to take antihistamines and they were, you know, making me feel lousy. And what ultimately happened, at that time I was on a vegetarian diet. I was on a very low-fat, low-protein diet. And I had to switch gears to a higher fat, higher protein diet, eliminate the refined carbohydrates. I was also drinking a lot of Gatorade because I was training for races. So it was a high sugar solution along with probably some artificial ingredients, colorings, and flavorings. There is something called the Feingold diet. The Feingold diet is actually used to treat attention deficit disorder and behavioral issues in kids, and does so successfully in many instances.
Her hives seem to be the worst when she's stressed and appear most.
Yeah, there's no question that stress makes it worse. But, you know, let me tell you, personally, I'm just as stressed as I was then, but I don't get hives. I mean, still, you know, so it's a threshold. So her threshold for getting hives, and certainly it's a chicken and egg thing because the hives make you very, it's nerve-wracking to get hives. It's very disconcerting. And so it's hard to know which came first, the hives or the stress. The stress is exacerbated by the hives. So if you follow the diet, the Feingold diet also lowers dietary salicylates from certain fruits and vegetables. But if you follow that program also, it eliminates dyes and synthetic ingredients that are present in many foods. But also I'd recommend a diet that is lower in carbohydrates altogether, lower in refined sugars. And many patients have hives in relationship to a food intolerance, such as it could be wheat, it could be dairy, it could be tomatoes, eggs, nuts. And sometimes we have to selectively test people and put them on an elimination diet. If you want to just try something like the paleo diet, that's a good place to start because you're eliminating a lot of problematic foods.
What was that diet again? Paleo?
It's called the paleo, P-A-L-E-O. And you can get many books now about the paleo diet. But it's like eat as if you were a caveman. Eat before modern foods were introduced. Modern foods include many of the grains, potatoes, eggplants, green peppers, tomatoes. These are modern domesticated foods that many Europeans have not had in their diets until recently. And also dairy products, a relatively recent addition to the human food chain. And for some people, they're problematic. So if you eliminate some of the modern foods, the paleo diet can actually provide a solution for a lot of people who have health problems. All right? Give it a shot. Give us some feedback. Natural things that help, quercetin, fish oil. These are some natural allergy blockers. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
DrHoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. All right, I promised you this story about arguing and how arguing can curtail your longevity. Maybe this is advice we should share with Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin, who recently was nabbed for heading the wrong direction on Fifth Avenue in New York. I mean, for those, Fifth Avenue is hazardous enough without people riding the wrong way on their bicycles. And, you know, he started arguing with the cops, and then he argued when they took him down to, he didn't have his ID, and then he argued with them at the precinct. And he got in a big snit with the authorities about, hey, you know, guess what? You got to follow the rules. I know you're a big celebrity, but that does not exempt you. And yes, riding a bike is such a clean, green, eco-friendly activity. But, hey, you're going the wrong way, and you can, like, run someone over. It just spoils the quality of life in urban areas. All right. Men seem to be the most vulnerable to the effects of frequent arguments. Arguments with partners, relatives, or neighbors may boost the risk of death from any cause in middle age. This, according to research published in the Journal of Epidemiology and Community Health. Frequent arguments and conflicts with anyone in the social circle, Alec, are you listening? Ranging from partners and relatives to friends and neighbors, were associated with a doubling to tripling in the risk of death from any cause, compared with participants who said these incidents were rare. And, clearly all that extra cortisol and all that extra adrenaline can cause a lot of wear and tear on your bodily structures, your arteries, your heart, your brain. And thus it makes total sense that you can't afford the luxury of succumbing to these negative emotions all the time. And that part of a healthy longevity strategy is to avoid rage and to avoid spewing venom and hate, because it is the rare person who can so accurately laser-like project it outward so as not to spill some of that harmful neurochemical stuff on themselves. All right, here's another one. This is an amazing story about a woman who received a measles vaccine and was cured of her multiple myeloma. Researchers at Mayo Clinic said they wiped out a Minnesota woman's incurable multiple myeloma using a massive dose of the measles. She received a dosage sufficient to inoculate 10 million people. The treatment lasted 40 minutes, left her with a fever and a terrible headache. But a tumor the size of a golf ball on her forehead disappeared within 36 hours. So this suggests that viruses can work as a vaccine to literally destroy a cancer, and they're moving towards applying this to the treatment of many other cancers. Very exciting. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we'll be right back with more Intelligent Medicine.